we're doing our class on the Jewish home, and we had begun differently than we do usually. We had begun with the idea of mutual respect, which would seem to be the most elementary component in a relationship, right? We tried to define mutual respect. We described the idea that I won't do something that I wouldn't want done unto me. We described the idea that I won't do something that might be hurtful to someone else, that will be less than respectful and considerate to someone else. So, in practical terms, in real life, this is much more difficult than it sounds. You're sitting at the Shabbos table and a kid filled a diaper. Who does the diaper? You want to know when happiness ends in marriage? Happiness ends when you start asking the question, why isn't she doing it? When you start looking at what the other side should be doing, that's the day your happiness ended in your marriage. Remember that. Everyone feels like a sucker. Everyone feels like I'm doing too much in this marriage. Everyone, every man, every woman. If you're going to start thinking and comparing and asking yourself, why should I be doing this? You will not be happy. Now, in every marriage, the guy feels like he's doing too much. You know the story? There's a famous story that a rabbi once said. There was a guy who was learning all day and all night, and his wife brought up the kids, and she educated them, and she fed them, and she clothed them. She never bothered him. She always let him learn day and night. He was learning. He never dealt with anything but his learning. And the Talmud has a term called Tsar Gidul Banim, the pain of raising children. So the day came when one of the children had to get married, and here she was working her head off to get all the kids dressed and get everyone ready. And he's learning. He doesn't stop his learning. Day and night he's learning. And she comes in and she tells him, Chaim, our son Yankel's getting married today and we have to go out to the wedding. I brought your jacket. You could put it on so we could go to the wedding. So he picks up his head from the Gemara, and it's the first time in 22 years of marriage that she stopped his learning. And she's holding the jacket for him to put it on, and as he put his right hand in the sleeves, he gives a sigh and says, Tsar Gidul Banim. The pain of raising children, right? But you know what? We're all that person. We laugh when we hear it about someone else. But the truth is that on an average day, our spouse will do so many things that we are unaware of. There's a very, I don't know if to say not nice, but a very interesting joke that happened to me. We were at Suda Shlishit. It was Sheva Brachos of sorts, so there were a lot of people there. And then we finished the third meal. Comes time for Matzei Shabbos, and we have to go and daven Ma'ariv. So we leave the place where we had all eaten, and throughout Shabbos, everyone helped set the table, everyone helped clear the table. And we finished the third meal. No one cleared the table yet. We went to daven Ma'ariv. So one of the people present said, where's the furthest minyan from here? Where's the latest minyan from here? Is there a minyan we could walk to 20 minutes and we'll catch davening there? So we all looked at him and said, why do you want to go daven there? And he said, well, every Matzei Shabbos a miracle happens. We leave the house and the table's set and all the food's been eaten and you have to clear the table and you have to put away the food and you have to wash the floor and you have to do the dishes. And when you leave for shul, you come back from shul and a little miracle happens. A lot of that work has been done. Now, the more time you spend going to shul and davening, the more that miracle has an opportunity to take place. So if we go to a minyan that's 20 minutes away, by the time we get back, all the work might be done. It's a fantastic miracle. But you know what? How many times did you tell your mother thank you for doing the laundry? When was the last time someone went into Rav Begun's office and said, thank you for working so hard. We should have electricity here. There should be food in the lunchroom. We walk in and everything's a miracle. It all takes place. Someone cleans the Beit Midrash. Who does that? Someone takes care to pay the bills here so that there's electricity. There's air conditioning here. There's a lot that goes on in our lives that we treat the same way. You walk into a shul. You know, there were Talmidei Chachamim that when they would leave a restaurant, they would go and find out who the cook was and tell him, thank you, the food was delicious. They didn't just thank the waiter. They went to look for who made the food. They'd go to a simcha. They'd go to a catering hall. At the end of the simcha, they'd ask, can you tell me where the cook is? I want to thank him for the delicious food. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was known that he would do that. So how many times do we walk around in life and miracles happen to us? You know, we ignore it. What would happen if a person would thank his wife every time she washed the laundry? Honey, I want to thank you. I know you took the time. You washed the laundry, you dried the laundry, you folded the laundry and you put it away, and I really appreciate it. So what would the average guy say? You know how long that's going to take me? Rabbi, I'm going to spend my whole day saying thank you. Excuse me, what takes longer? Washing the laundry, folding the laundry, putting away the laundry, or saying thank you for all of 10 seconds in a meaningful way? Which takes longer? She can do all that. Why can't you just say thank you? And it's true for so many things. For going shopping, you know, buying milk, bread, simple things. I'll tell you where we're very good at this. If we go to the store and we bought milk and bread, we expect that thank you. And if we come home and we forgot the butter and our wife asks us, honey, where's the butter? What do you say? That's all you can think about? I brought the bread. I brought the milk. I forgot the butter. So, and then we get all uptight. Why is she criticizing me? Hold it. Did you thank her when she bought the bread, when she brought the milk? So one of the keys to happiness is the ability to see what's good, to see what's right. And we see that when we say thank you. That's why prayer develops a healthy human being. Because in prayer, what we're doing is we're focusing on the broader picture, what's important to us in life. We're saying thank you. We're saying please. We're saying I'm sorry. Those are components that are very hard for us in life. When was the last time every person said to someone else, thank you? When was the last time? I don't mean just thank you. Yeah, thank you happens. But when was the last time someone went to the chef downstairs and said, you know, lunch was very yummy. Thank you very much. It was delicious. What's the big deal? We can do that. When was the last time someone wrote a letter to someone here saying thank you? You know, the end of last semester, I wrote a letter to the head of the yeshiva I learned in the morning hours. And you guys know, that's where we were two Thursdays ago. And I called his wife to get permission for us to go there two Thursdays ago when we went there that night. And his wife said to me, you have no idea how that letter made our summer. We were so wiped out at the end of the year. We were so tired. We had worked so hard. And suddenly we got this letter. Someone actually says, thank you. You know, you guys did something that affected my life. And you benefited me. And you think people don't need to hear that? Everyone needs to hear that. When we speak about mutual respect, just saying thank you, it seems so simple. But what about saying it in a meaningful way? When I was in Merkaz Harav, so we had a guy. He was in his 70s, and he would clean the toilets in the yeshiva. That was his job. So you have a yeshiva of 800 guys. There are a lot of toilets to clean. His job was cleaning the toilets. Now, the guy didn't have such a strong background or education, and he never used gloves, and he would make sure all the toilets were very clean. He would lean into the toilet bowl and clean with his hands and a mop. So you didn't exactly want to shake his hand, right? But this is how the guy cleaned every toilet in the yeshiva. And every so often, he'd tell us, you know how lucky I am? I get to prepare a yeshiva for learning Torah. I could be doing this in a jail. I could be doing this elsewhere. Now, the man's in his 70s. He's not a little kid. And he has grandchildren already. And every day, he'd tell us, I am so lucky, I get to be a part of your Torah. And he'd always ask us during his break to learn with him. He'd say, I'm an Amaritz, I don't know how to learn, help me, learn with me. And he'd spend his breaks learning. So one year, Purim came along, and before Purim, I bought a few loaves of bread and some other nice things, and I brought him this basket with bread and maybe wine, I don't remember what I put in there, and I wrote a letter. And in the letter, I just wrote, Dear Mr. So-and-so, I want you to know how much we in the yeshiva benefit from what you do. Because you come in every day and you remind us how important Torah is. You remind us because you speak about Torah that you value it. You remind us because every free minute you learn Torah. And I have to tell you that one of the people who have had a great impact on my life when I've come to this yeshiva is you. And I have tremendous respect for you and I value what you do. And I wrote him this letter and gave him a Mishloach Manos. Okay. He didn't read it till he got home. And two or three days later, he comes back, it's after Purim, and he tells me, you don't know what you did for me. I said, what did I do? He said, my wife looked at me and said, ooh, you learn so much Torah. The students of yeshiva respect you so much. Now when I walk into the room, she stands up. I wake up in the morning. She thinks I'm half a rabbi. He says to me, you know why my wife suddenly respects me? You know, my wife suddenly values me? She read that letter and she says, wow, I thought you just go to yeshiva to clean toilets. Now I know you go to yeshiva and you teach them. Wow. Okay, a little bit of a cursed stuff, just saying thank you. The guy's been cleaning our toilets, right? So it's what's the big deal to write a letter? You take 5 minutes and you express appreciation. People, if you think about it, Mark Twain once said this. When people say nice things about me, Mark Twain said, I invariably think they didn't say enough. I'm uncomfortable when people speak nice things about me because I always think they didn't say enough. And then I'm uncomfortable that I'm uncomfortable. Right? But he was expressing a true human sentiment. We all need that. We all want to hear we're great. We all want to hear someone tell us we're great. I'm going to tell you a secret. You want to know what you really want in marriage? You want to know what your wife really wants in marriage? Everyone in marriage wants someone who will appreciate them and love them and not point out their faults. Us men, oh, we're so good at this. Let me just tell you how you could do this better. All I did was give a little bit of advice. No, you didn't. You just destroyed your marriage. You didn't give advice. No, you didn't. That's not. What we all crave is someone who will accept us the way we are and tell us we're great. I know you have this fault. It doesn't interest me. I like you as is. And if we can give that feeling, if we can show appreciation, we can really build a marriage. But what do we usually do? We walk in at home Shabbos morning and we have a guest. And we sit down at the table and we ignore all the good things that are going on at the table. We don't say thank you. The best we're going to do is as we munch through the children, this is crummy, right? We're a bunch of cavemen. We just came in and ate some children, right? And then we might actually do something that's really, 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 really unkind. We might actually make a joke, like when our wife is talking, we'll say to the guy sitting next to us, don't women talk a lot? Don't they say a lot of words and very little content? Now, what we said might be true. That's not the point. But what have we just done to the person who's invested so much? And do we ever really take the time to show appreciation? We once had a guy over from Machon Meir, and he comes over to the house, and he's eating rice. And he says, wow, this rice is amazing. I don't remember when in my life I tasted such delicious rice. And he's eating the rice and he goes on and on. So the first sentence, I thought he was joking. The second sentence, I thought he was joking some more. By the third sentence, I caught on he's serious. And the next time he came to our house, he says, I remember your rice. Well, you know what? I don't remember who he was, but you see, I remember until today. What a compliment. No one ever came to my house and complimented the rice. I remember the guy who came to our house and said, don't invite me again. The Machon food's better. I remember that guy. Yeah. Okay. You know, good luck. I didn't invite him again. He got his wish. We remember these things and they sit. And if we want to build, if we want to build our marriage, so we discussed tonight, if I'm going to make demands and I'm going to have a scorecard, I will not be happy. Everyone thinks they're giving more than they're receiving. When we speak about mutual respect, well, there's a certain element of appreciation. Everyone yearns for that appreciation, yearns for it, and people won't admit it, but to a large extent, that's what they're looking for in marriage. And when we make a joke, and when we make a slight comment, and when we think all I said was just how you could do it better, we're ignoring the fact that we're undermining the very fabric of our relationship. You build through showing appreciation. You destroy through criticism. And when we speak about mutual respect, we have to think about never saying something that could be hurtful. And even if it's a joke, You know, people here, was it here that you asked me about wearing rings, earrings? Yeah? And I told you that I never said it at home, right?
Yeah.
It's a medrash. The medrash discusses why women wear earrings, but it might not be heard so pleasantly by a woman, so why should I say that medrash at home? There are plenty of other medrashim to say at home. There's a medrash that discusses how men are more compassionate than women. I showed it to a student once, and I said, you never quote this in my house. Why should a woman feel like she's being challenged? Are you as compassionate as a man? So even though the medrash discusses it, when the student asked the question, I said, I'll show it to you on condition that even though you come to us for Shabbos meals, you never discuss this with me at home. Oh, of course a woman can handle it. So Chazal said it. But why should you put a person there? Mm-hmm. We think it's innocent. It's not innocent. The Archas Tzadikim says, when we speak about a human fault, and there's someone in the room that has that fault, they are sure you're talking about them. And it doesn't matter what you spoke about. You know, let's imagine we spoke about a person who was missing a hand. So if there was one person in the room that was missing a hand, then he would think, everyone's thinking of me now. Everyone's just looking at me and thinking about me. So if we made a comment about women, or we made a joke, when we speak about mutual respect, let's remember what she's thinking right away is, you're joking about me. And you might say, but I wasn't talking about you. That's not the point. The Orchas Tzadikim writes, you speak about something that's relevant to one person in the room, they're sure you're talking about them, they're sure everyone's looking at them. What did we discuss tonight? Let's summarize. Mutual respect. We don't do something that could be hurtful. We show appreciation. How many times can you say thank you for laundry? As many as you're going to say. Appreciation should be shown with sincerity and with details. People will remember it. That is the fabric of building a relationship. Criticism is not innocent, and even if it's just factual. When we make a joke, everyone who's relevant to that assumes we're talking about them, and part of mutual respect is that we don't say things around the house that might be interpreted as hurtful, that might be interpreted as talking about the person who is the most cherished person in our life.